Mike, and I'd like to add my voice to those of others who've thanked you for your outstanding contribution to the work of the Lowy Institute and thinking about the G20. It's been an outstanding contribution. The topic for this second panel is the relationship between the G20 and the international organisations. And really what we want to explore is how that relationship is working and what can be done to improve it. And we have six incredibly well-qualified panellists to help us do that. Before I call on them, though, I just thought I'd like to make a few scene-setting observations, because as Mike says, I've been involved in this process for quite a few years. I was trying to count up yesterday how many deputies and governors' meetings I've attended, and I think it's 22 over the last 6 years. And over that time, I've seen the tremendous value that the IOs bring to our discussions. I think their contributions make the G20 stronger. They add to the overall quality of our work, and their contribution is very highly valued by the members. But the G20 is a member-based organisation, and the members are the individual countries. So it's the countries who make the commitments, and it's the countries who are accountable. But in doing that work, we rely very heavily on the contributions of the international organisations. And really, that's how it should be. The G20 itself shouldn't be replicating the expertise, the tremendous expertise that resides in these organisations. So it's a cooperative relationship. There are four areas where I think that the IOs have been particularly useful. One is the technical expertise they bring to our discussions. As I'm sure you appreciate, many of the areas we're dealing with are really tremendously technically complicated. Think about financial regulation, international tax design, the quantification of structural reforms, the detail of infrastructure investment and the design of contracts. I mean, these are all very, very highly complicated areas, and the IOs bring their expertise to the table. And as a consumer of that expertise, I think it's incredibly valuable. I think they largely do it very well, and as I said before, the G20 is stronger as a result of that expertise. The second thing is they bring impartiality. There is a tendency for countries to self-assess more favourably than perhaps they should. It's not always the case, but I sense that tendency often in the discussions. And the IOs, through their assessments, kind of act as a brake on that tendency. They encourage honesty, and I think that we're all stronger as a result of that. The third thing is they bring a global perspective. I see it in the discussions we have often a tendency for countries to focus on their own little patch, on the kind of the particular issues that they're grappling with. And what the IOs do very well is constantly remind us of the importance of collective actions. They remind us of positive spillovers and negative spillovers as well. And by bringing that global perspective to our discussions, the hope, and I think sometimes this is the reality, that the outcome is greater than the sum of its parts. And the fourth area where I think their contribution is significant is really in the socialisation of ideas. And I think this is really one of the underappreciated benefits of the IOs and even for the G20, because there is no kind of the socialisation of ideas doesn't lead to immediate concrete deliverables. There's no specific recommendation or specific outcome. But I've sensed through our discussions, and particularly the contributions of the IOs, that ideas get percolate through the system, and ultimately they lead to policy changes in individual countries. And even if you can't directly link the discussions we have around the table to a specific objective, I think the socialisation of ideas may ultimately be the most lasting and durable benefit of the G20 and the contribution of the IOs. So these are, as I said, significant contributions, and I know the membership rely very heavily on it, and thank all the IOs for their contribution. Of course, the G20, I think, has been good for the IOs themselves as well. In a number of cases, it's helped improve their status. I think it's helped improve their influence. A number of them have had agenda items that have kind of been percolating away, and the G20 has brought political legitimacy. And so a number of the IOs are stronger as a result of that. So in a sense, it's a win-win. But I do see tensions every now and then. And again, I've listed down four here. The G20 is very good at calling for reports. Often it's kind of hard to make a decision, so the easiest thing that we can all agree on is to call for another report from the IOs. And the IOs have found it very difficult to say no to these reports. So sometimes there is report overload, and one senses it's not the most efficient use of everyone's time. So hopefully in the panel we can get the panellists to reflect on that. The second is the IOs have broader constituencies than just the G20, and sometimes I detect some discomfort amongst the broader constituencies about the of the IOs about their work agenda being influenced or, in some cases, determined by the G20. Third is I have seen quite a few discussions, really tensions about the publication of reports. My own view is that the publication of these reports is a really important part of the accountability process, but that view isn't universally shared. So I, sometimes these reports don't see the light of day publicly, which I think is a pity. I think the alternative perspective is here that if the reports are public, then the IOs are going to pull their punches, and so the quality of the advice won't be as good. So I think that's an issue. And occasionally I see the IOs kind of grabbing for the spotlight. Some of these issues that we are discussing, there's kind of competition for who's in charge. And some institutional competition, I think, is a good thing, but it sometimes can lead to duplication. So against the background of what's most of the time a very favourable interaction, I think there are periodically tensions as well. So then my general perspectives, and we have six outstanding panellists to talk about these issues. So we'll do the same thing as we did last time. We'll just go through the presentation sequentially. The first speaker will be Gabriela Ramos, who is Chief of Staff of the OECD and Sherpa to the G20. The second speaker will be Siddharth Tiwari, the Director of Strategy, Policy and Review Department at the IMF. In that role, he's responsible for coordinating IMF's interactions with the G20 as well as the G7 and the G24. The third speaker will be Rupert Thorne, who's deputy to the General Secretary of the Financial Stability Board, and Rupert's been very closely involved with the redesign of financial regulation. The fourth speaker will be Jeff Chelsky, lead economist at the World Bank. Jeff is responsible for the bank's relationship with the G20 and with the other international organisations, and he's been a very active participant in a number of the key working groups. The fifth speaker will be Tim Yeend, who's Chief of Staff and Principal Advisor to the Director General of the WTO. He has a long and distinguished background in trade negotiations, including for Australia. And the sixth speaker will be Thierry Soret, who's policy advisor in the Strategic Policy Unit at the United Nations Development Programme in New York. And in that role, he's represented the UNDP on the G20 Development Group. So, as I said, outstanding list of panellists to discuss the, kind of these important issues. Thank you very much, Rupert. Well, given the time, I'm not going to summarise what I think was a very rich discussion. There was one sentence that really stood out for me, though, and it was kind of from Jeff when he said that the G20 no longer tasks organisations to do stuff, they ask. And the loss of that, too, I think for me that's very important because it speaks to the respect and the trust that's been built up here. We don't see the G20 now as kind of demanding this work from the internationalisation. They're asking in a collaborative way, and that respect and trust has also been built up the membership. So this is why I kind of share Barry's confident outlook for the G20, because the trust and the respect is building up in the membership, and I can see this successively over the meetings that I've been to, and it's reflected in the openness that our six international organisations have shared with us today. So to each of you, thank you. I know you are all very busy, and I know Brisbane's not that far away, so keep up the hard work, and if you could join with me in thanking the panelists.